Economic security, national security, these things are inextricably linked. That's the bottom line. These things are one and the same. And in my next guest, Dan Gernstein, a senior policy researcher in the RAND Corporation, who served previously at the U.S. Department of Homeland Security as Undersecretary and Deputy Undersecretary in the Science and Technology Directorate, says that we have to look at the way the world evolves, how the threat landscape evolves, and how we need to be not asleep at the wheel, I guess is the way I take it. Dan, good to have you back.
Thanks, Steve. Good to be here.
I feel like we are asleep at the wheel. I mean, I was just having a conversation at length about how, you know, linked we are. We're funding, basically, the Silk and Road Initiative for the CCP. The American taxpayer, the big banks with Jamie Dimon, you know, Elon Musk is over there. We're the ones, and the American taxpayer, funding many of these bills as well along the way. Are we just that clueless? Are we?
Well, Steve, that's a bit of a loaded question. I mean, the way I would answer this is that looking at the perspective, the U.S. has 4% of the world's population and 25% of the world's wealth. So are we definitely linked in some ways, trade, travel, business, industry, et cetera, with China and other countries? Yes, we are. But we also benefit. And I think what you're really getting at is the pendulum may have swung too far. I mean, we want to make sure that we are sufficient to satisfy our needs and protect our population. And so that's a very important part of that. But it doesn't mean
it's swung too far, Dan. And that's the word I keep hearing, decoupling, yet.
Yeah.
More than 80% of the pharmaceuticals used in the United States have supply chains that lead back to China, including antibiotics. You know, there's not a single antibiotic plant anywhere in America anymore. The last one closed in 2004 when China dropped the price through the floor and bankrupted the last one that stood in the state of New York, just as an example. So if we need antibiotics, it's not like you just go whip up a batch. It doesn't work that way, right? I mean, it creates problems. And, you know, so this is just an example of, okay, so if we don't decouple, what do we do?
I think we make strategic decisions. You're exactly right on the pharmaceuticals. There are some pharmaceuticals, like for the shingles vaccine, you can't even make the shingles vaccine without getting special compounds from the Andean Ridge nations in Latin America. So we're highly vulnerable in some of our supply chains. And so what we have to do is identify those areas where we want to have our own capacity. Now, I think the Biden administration, for example, has done that on semiconductors and really for the most advanced semiconductors. We want to retain global leadership in certain parts of that supply chain. And so that's a wise decision. And we need to do the same with pharmaceuticals. We need to do it with rare earth metals or materials, which are used in every type of electronic device.
But we don't do that, if I may be so bold. In fact, just recently, Joe Biden signed a directive blocking the exploration and mining of those rare earth elements in a place loaded with it, northern Minnesota. Off limits. So, you know, how are we helping ourselves?
Well, I mean, this is exactly the balance that we have to find. You know, I assume, and I'm not as familiar with the Minnesota case, but I'm assuming it had something to do with federal lands, national parks, protecting the environment.
Yeah.
But, you know, like the rare earths is a real problem. You know why we got out of the rare earths business about 20 years ago? Because it's terrible.
It's
terrible for our environment. It uses harsh chemicals.
Oh, it's awful. I mean, the pursuit of EVs, the pursuit of this, you know, green agenda is awful. We have 40,000 kids in the Congo working their fingers literally bloody to get, you know, cobalt out of the ground. In Afghanistan, you've got the Taliban now in charge of these large deposits of lithium. This whole EV thing is insane.
Yeah, but on the other hand, I mean, EV is going to be the future. Battery technology is going to be the future. So we need to find ways to offset and have our own supply chains where possible, or at least have, a minimum capacity where we judge it to be in our interest. But we should also be aware that when we do this, we are going to cause inflation. Prices will rise because we are more expensive to do things here in the United States in some cases, in some technologies.
Well, and just let me say this. Battery technology may be a portion of our future, maybe a big portion of our future. But unless we get our act together, there's not going to be anything to charge those batteries. Because as we bulldoze our coal-fired power plants, China's building a new one every 12 days. France is building 14 brand new nuclear reactors as we speak. America's building windmills. I'm sorry, but that's not going to get it done. It's not on any scale that can be used to push trucks across Montana or Nebraska or north to south in Michigan or Florida. It's not going to work. We're creating an energy disaster for this country. Yes or
well,
no?
Well, my hope is what we're doing is we're going to find a balance, because I do think that there are places in the country where wind and solar are very good alternatives, and these renewables will, in the long run, save money in many cases. But, you know, we're still going through the growing pains. We're thinking about the nuclear industry, and we really do need to consider that. But, you know, there are also problems. People don't want to have a nuclear reactor sitting in their state, in their community. Well, I mean, that you may be ahead of your time.
The French have it figured out. The French are leading the world in nuclear. I mean, and every reactor they build is the same. That's the key. You duplicate and you iron out the little problems that you have with different ones instead of building a different one every time. Anyhow, Dan, we could talk more about this, but unfortunately, I'm out of time. Dan, thank you for being here.
Thanks. Good to be here.
Dan Gernstein from the RAND Corporation. Always a fascinating conversation. A lot more to talk about there. Steve Friend, former FBI special agent, straight ahead. Don't go anywhere.